Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Namami Buddham Guna Sagarantam Santa Sada Huntu Sukhi Avera Kayo Jinguncho Sakalo Dugandho Gacchanti Sambe Maranam Ahanche Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sambuddhassa. Dukkhaṃ dukkha samuppādaṃ dukkhaṃ saca atiṅkhamaṃ ariyaṃ caṭṭhaṅgikaṃ maṅgaṃ dukkhopa samagāminaṃ etaṃ kho saraṇaṃ kemaṃ etaṃ saraṇa muntamaṃ etaṃ saraṇa māgamma sambha dukkha pamuñcatu.
Homage to the exalted one, the worthy one, the supremely enlightened one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Dear friends in Dhamma, today we are going to discuss the most important topic in Buddhism, that the sublime truth or the Four Noble Truths. Actually, this is the heart of Buddhism. And in many ways, we can discuss these four things in mundane level and supramundane level. Actually, sometimes when we discuss about these four things, some people know these four things, but most of them know only the level of mundane level. Actually, we should understand not only mundane level, but supra-mundane level too. For that, we should have special knowledge, understanding, according to the Buddha taught. That is very important. Here, first of all, I would like to explain you the order of Buddhist doctrines. The main purpose of everyone is happiness. Buddhism also has explained the way how we achieve the real happiness. In this way, actually happiness depends on purification of our mind. Entire Buddhism is that purifying one's mind, the purity of mind. This is the Buddhist path. And also Buddha says very clearly, whether a Buddha appears or not in the world, this truth is forever. We respect the Supreme Buddha because he himself discovered and proclaimed this path to the world. This is a discovery. This is not a creation. In the world, there are two things we can see. One of them is that discoveries. The other one is creations. For example, you know, oil, water, salt, those are the things, they are discoveries. We can create water. We can create oil. They are discoveries. Gems, jewelries, they are discoveries. There are some creations in the world, like this building. These are creations. Buddhism is a discovery. It is not a creation of the Buddha or any other being or any other divine person. And here, happiness depends on purifying one's mind. Purifying one's mind depends on reducing negative thoughts. defilements. What are the main unwholesome mental states? We always discuss that greed, anger, and delusion. First of all, Buddhism points out the way how we overcome greed and anger. That is the first part of Buddhism. Practicing generosity and practicing loving kindness, we trained our mind to overcome greed and anger. That is the first step in Buddhism. The second one is that reducing greed and anger depends on how far we can reduce delusion. Among the three unwholesome mental states, the Buddha points out that the worst defilement is that delusion or ignorance, avijja or moha. Reducing or overcoming greed and anger completely depends on how far we have overcome delusion. Reducing delusion depends on that understanding the dependent origination. Understanding the dependent origination depends on understanding the Four Noble Truths. Understanding the dependent origination and understanding the Four Noble Truths are interrelated. The more we understand the dependent origination, the more we understand the Four Noble Truths. In the another way, that understanding the Four Noble Truths depends on understanding the dependent origination. The more we understand the Four Noble Truths, the more we understand the dependent origination. And here, we should understand the qualities of the Dhamma. As we always recite, there are six qualities of the Dhamma. What the Buddha taught. They are Svakkhato. Dhamma is well expounded by the Supreme Buddha. Well expounded means it is clear that the beginning, middle and end. What is the beginning? Beginning is clear, the middle is clear, the end is clear. What is the beginning? Beginning is sila, or virtue. The middle is concentration, or samadhi. The end is that panya, wisdom. These are well expounded. That is why we say svakkhato, Bhagavata Dhamma. Sandittiko, visible results. The more we practice Dhamma, the more we purify our mind. The more we purify our mind, the more we are happy. Whenever we are unhappy, it means our mind is polluted with negative thoughts, greed, anger, and delusion. And in this way, sandhittiko means visible results. Especially when we practice loving kindness, we can overcome anger. Then we can see the beauty of our mind. On the other side, when we practice five precepts, actually we can see the visible results. When we practice generosity, we can win friends. When we meditate, our mind little by little, we can purify our mind. And that is why we say sandhittiko, visible results, and akaliko, immediately affective or timeless. And any time we can practice the Dhamma and we can see the results. In Buddha's time, if Buddha has explained something, in this present society also we can apply it. You know, before 2600 years, Buddha explained there are two things that we should practice for inner peace, peace of mind. They are loving kindness and mindfulness. You know, still, a lot of psychiatrists recommend us to practice loving kindness and mindfulness for our stress management. If we want to overcome stress, actually we have to practice loving kindness and mindfulness. That is why we say akaliko. Anytime we can practice. These teachings are not old. Even though these things are explained before 2600 years, even in the present society, we can apply those things and we can see the results. That is why we say akaliko, immediately effective. And ehipassiko, we can say anyone, come and see. Buddha never says us, come and believe. Come and see. That is the very important thing. Next, Buddha says, leading onwards. We should get results throughout practicing in our own life. And also personally realized by the wise. Pachyattang vedita bovinyohi. We should be wise when we practice Dhamma. Wisdom means, it doesn't say that we should have degrees or educational qualifications, but we should be wise when someone explains the Four Noble Truths or Dependent Origination. We should be wise to understand what they say. That is very important. Yes?
There's a question. Is wisdom something that happens, or is wisdom, in other words, is it cultivated, or is it something you can...
Actually, at the beginning, we should have some kind of wisdoms that we already developed in our previous lives. Okay? You know, we can see some people in the society, even though sometimes they have degrees, master degrees, doctorates, but they are not clever to understand when we explain this message. By birth, they should have some kind of wisdom, understanding. That is very important. Sometimes they have no the skillfulness of literacy, but they can understand when we explain this message. That is the quality. That is why Buddha says, Sile patittaya naro sapanyo chittang panyancha bhavyam. They are in three times Buddha explains wisdom. Sapanyo. Sapanyo means by birth we should be wise. And nipako. Sile patittaya naro sapanyo. Chittang panyancha bhavyam. Panya means by birth we should have some kind of wisdom, and also after we listening to this message again we should develop it. Both of them are very important. First we should have some kind of wisdom, then by listening to Dhamma with using those techniques we should develop it to the maximum level.
Is that what they call paramis?
Sorry?
Paramis. Heard the word parami.
Yes, right. Parami. Parami relates to the wisdom that we have by birth. Yes, that is very important. Yes. And that is why, in the, you know, when we were born, we should be wise, and also we should be wise to recognize who the Noble Association is. And also, when we listen to Dhamma, we should be wise, and also we should be wise to practice it. Then we can develop the wisdom to the maximum level for getting rid of suffering. Wisdom is like a light. Even though we have delusion or ignorance, we can't remove delusion. We can do only thing that light in a candle, light in wisdom. When we light the wisdom, automatically delusion goes away. That is the path that Buddha explained. And these are the qualities of the Dhamma. And also, Buddha's teachings have some kind of order, little by little. As I mentioned before, that Buddhism is like the ocean. Ocean gradually deepens from beach to the deeper water. The Buddha's message is also like that. And first Buddha explains the heavenly path that belongs to conventional truth. That is the first step. Believing or with the confidence in the samsaric circle for a blissful life with the understanding of the karmic law, we should practice three meritorious deeds as much as we can. Generosity, virtue, and meditation. Generosity, virtue, and meditation. The more we practice these three meritorious deeds, the more we purify our mind from negative thoughts, which disturb our peace of mind. And practicing three meritorious is the very first level in the samsaric circle. Then we have to enter the second level in absolute truth. There we should be knowledgeable about the dependent origination. And when Buddha explains something, we can see this order. Little by little, Buddha goes to the deeper level. Because audience is different. The wisdom of audience is not same. Some people can go to the deeper level. They can catch only the conventional truth. But there are few people who are very wise. They can understand, they can realize the highest truth when the Buddha explains it. That is why Buddha doesn't stop in the conventional truth. Finally, Buddha explained, end of his sermon, the ultimate truth, the absolute truth. That is also very important. When we practice three meritorious deeds with the understanding of the karmic law, we think there is a world in outside. Still we are think there is something outside. Before we experience something, there was something here. After we experience, the world remains. This is the nature of understanding of the conventional truth. The ordinary people think like that. In this situation, we can collect some positive thoughts. We can collect some meritorious deeds. And also we can practice some merits. And also we can become a blissful life hereafter. But we can't overcome the samsaric circle completely in this situation. First of all, Buddha pointed out the path that leads to a blissful life, like a human being or divine person or Brahma person. And then Buddha explained especially the dependent origination or the Four Noble Truths. Buddha says, understanding Four Noble Truths is the real safety for our life. That is the real refuge with no other refuge. Understanding the dependent origination, understanding the Four Noble Truths, practicing fourfold mindfulnesses are interrelated. What they are? Understanding the dependent origination, understanding the Four Noble Truths, and practicing fourfold mindfulness or fullnesses. Fourfold mindfulness or mindfulnesses. What is the correct word?
Satipatthana, isn't that the...
No, English word. I ask you the...
Yeah.
What is the correct word?
Four foundations of mindfulness.
Fourfold mindfulness or mindfulnesses.
Mindfulness.
Okay. Yeah. I explain here that understanding the dependent origination, understanding the Four Noble Truths, and practicing fourfold mindfulness are interrelated. Those three things are very important. Okay? Everything that I explain here is very important. You should remember it. Mm. Okay? Not only remember, if you can listen to it again and again.
Yes.
Actually, that is very important for you. For you understand. Okay? Every word that I say here, very, very important. Okay? And here, what are the Four Noble Truths? It is very easy to say these four things, but meaning is not like that. We can say, Dukkha Samudaya Nirodha Marga. Suffering, the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, the path that leads to cessation of suffering. Very easy to say. Dukkha Satcha, Samudaya Satcha, Nirodha Satcha, Marga Satcha. It is very easy to say. But meaning is not like that. Your skillfulness, your proficiency, completely depends on how far you can understand this truth. Okay? Even though you are retired, you are old, and don't think that you can't understand. Why is that? In Buddha's time, there were some people who were at the age of 80. They realized this message. Not only that, in Buddha's time, there were some people who became monkhood at the age of 100. They also realized this message. Not only that, there were some devotees such as Sona and Radha, they were ordained at the age of 120. They also realized this message and finally they attain enlightenment in this immediate life. Mr. John, you are not so old. You are younger than them. Okay, you are so fortunate.
I have a lot of work to do.
Yes, and also you are wise, you have concentration. You can understand what we say. Therefore, you are so fortunate. You are so blessed. We bless you. Okay? And here, the Four Noble Truths. These four things can be explained in both ways, in two ways. One of them is that in the conventional truth. The other one is in the supramundane level. Those two things are very important. Here, there is something which is suffering and the truth of suffering. It has a difference. Okay? There is suffering in the world and there is a truth of suffering. They are different. And also, there is a cessation or there is a cause in the world of suffering, and there is a truth of the cause of suffering. They are different. There is a cessation in the world of suffering, and there is a truth. There is a truth of cessation of suffering. They are different. There is a path in the world, and also the truth of cessation that leads to cessation from suffering. Both of them are different. And here, little by little, I explain. Okay? Be mindful that first of all, we should understand suffering, the ordinary suffering in the world, and the truth of suffering. That is very important. You know, suffering can be realized by anyone. It is not difficult. Jati pi dukkha, birth is suffering. Jara pi dukkha, decay is suffering. Maranam pi dukkha, death is suffering. Appyehi sampayogo dukko, with association of bad people is suffering. Piehi vipayogo dukko, separation from dearest and nearest people is suffering. Those are the things, those are the sufferings can be realized by anyone in the world. That is only suffering. That is not the truth of suffering that Buddha realized when he attained enlightenment. You know, I think you have heard, before Buddha did his renunciation, before he gave up his palace and relatives, actually he had realized death, aging and birth. After he attained enlightenment, he declared a very special word that pubbe anunusosesu dhammesu chakku mudapadi jnana mudapadi. I realized something that I have never heard. Can you understand what I am saying? After Buddha attained enlightenment in the Bodh Gaya at the age of 35, in his first sermon, the Dhammacakka Sutta, Buddha says, I realized something that I had never understood. Then we should understand the ordinary suffering and the truth of suffering are different. Okay? And little by little we are going. Okay? And first of all, we should understand how we experience to the world. We contact with the world through our six senses. When we open our eye, when we hear something, when we listen to something, when we taste something, when we smell something, when we touch something, when we think something, five aggregates immediately arise. That's the very first experience. That very first experience is neither good nor bad, neither white nor black, neither wholesome or unwholesome. That is only a result that we have done in past. That first experience is very primary level experience. Then immediately the second experience arises. That second experience is not the just five aggregates. The first experience is the five aggregates. The second experience is the clinging of five aggregates. The five aggregates to clinging. the five aggregates of clinging. When we recognize something, actually, we think that we experience in the first thing. No. When you recognize me as a monk, if you recognize this robe is like yellow, like that, you recognize me or my robe in your second experience. First experience, you have no real colors, persons or things. For very first experience, only a shadow. That is immediate. That is instant. Suddenly it sees us, then in suddenly we create something, there is a person, there is a sound, then first experience has already ceased. And the first experience is the truth of suffering. And also, with that combination, then next experience, the five aggregates of clinging, that is the real suffering, the truth of suffering. The second experience is that we think there is something outside in ignorance. In very first experiences, actually it is same to even Arahant. But second experience, even Arahant, even enlightened person can understand when he sees something, but suddenly he is knowledgeable that he understands through his mind. When I recognize you are a woman, I recognize you are as a woman, not through my eye, through my mind. Enlightened person has this understanding, but the ordinary person thinks that the woman is outside. Woman is inside. Mom is outside, not mom is outside. The ordinary person's mom is outside. Actually, enlightened person's mom is inside. It is a deep concept. However, if we think there is something outside, it means we realize that in our second experience, it means we are with suffering. If we think there is something outside, if we think my mom, my dad is outside, what happens to us? We have some bonuses. What they are? Suffering, decay, death, separation, those things we are touching. When I think my dad is here, when you change, I get upset. Because I think that my mom, my dad, my son is outside. But the truth that I create my dad, mom or son inside. And if we think there is something outside, that is the truth of suffering. If we can understand, Buddha says, we have to see this truth. We can't overcome this truth. You know, there are four truths. One, the very first one is the noble truth of suffering. The noble truth of suffering should be realized, should be comprehended, should be understood. We can't remove this one. We can't develop it. We should do only understanding of this truth. The second one is, you know, ordinary people think that suffering is outside, or suffering is like aging, birth, decay, death, rebirth. They think these are the sufferings. Everybody can understand it, but we know that is not the real truth of suffering. The truth of suffering is that if we think there is someone, there is something outside, that is the truth of suffering. Little by little we go to the deeper level, okay? The next one, Samudaya Satya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering, the reason of suffering, the cause of suffering. Ordinary people think that attachment to their children, their relatives, their friends is the cause of suffering. We also think that, no? Sometimes, if we have some attachment with my relatives, with my properties, I have suffering. Sometimes you may think, actually, it is not the truth that Buddha has realized as the noble truth of the origin of suffering. What is the noble truth of origin of suffering? The attachment to myself. Attachment to myself. When I have attachment to myself, I like my son. When he is successful, I am happy. When he is unsuccessful, I get angry. Why is that? When our children have misbehaviors, that we say that, don't make me angry. If you face some troubles, I have to bring you to the hospital. Don't misbehave. We advise our children. Do you think that you like your children? Actually, that is the thing everyone can see, but what is the truth? You like yourself. You don't like to go to hospital because it is a problem for you. If your son is sick, you face some problems, difficulties, you have to go to hospital with your children. That is why you punish your children. Actually, in the deeper level, we like our own self. That is why Buddha has explained only one thing of the cause of suffering. If the cause of suffering is outside, there are two things Buddha had to explain. Why is that? Attachment and detachment, or lust and anger, both of them should be causes of suffering if the cause of suffering is outside. But you know, lust or attachment and anger and detachment are the both sides of the same coin. Can you understand what I'm saying? Lust and anger, or attachment and detachment, are the both sides of the same coin. That is why Buddha has explained the only one reason of the cause of suffering. What is that? The attachment to myself. I want to protect myself. That is why I like that who love me. I dislike who hate me. The noble truth of the origin of suffering is that the attachment to myself. That is the thing that the Buddha realized when he attained enlightenment. The other thing is Nirodha Satya. The noble truth of the cessation of suffering. People think that if we don't like, if we remove other things, then we can go away from suffering. Ordinary people think that if I don't like my children, my properties, my physical body, then I can attain enlightenment. Is this true? if it is true, enlightenment is very easy. We can attain enlightenment at the same day. What is the path? In one day, we can offer everything to others, what we have, and also we can offer this physical body to a lion, jump into a place, you know, like a zoo, where tigers and lions are. It is very easy to attain enlightenment if the cessation of suffering is outside. That is why, you know, some people, when Buddha appeared in the world, they thought that the cessation of suffering is that getting rid of everything. That is why they removed their children. They removed their properties. They removed their relatives and friends. They removed even their clothes. They went to the jungle. Did they attain enlightenment? No. Even though we remove our material things, even our physical body, we are unable to attain enlightenment. Ordinary people think that if we can remove everything that we have, we can attain enlightenment, we can get rid of suffering. Actually, in the mundane level, Buddha has advised us to practice generosity for our inner peace, offering something to others. It is only a decoration of our mind. Practicing generosity is like decorating our mind in the mundane level. When we go to the deeper level, having everything what we have, our children, properties, we can attain enlightenment. You know, King Suddhodana, Buddha's father, attained enlightenment having been a king, ruling his own country as a lay person without removing his anything. He could attain enlightenment. How do we do it? Not only removing our material things, but removing our own self, own necessity in our own life. If we can remove our attachment to our self, if we can remove our attachment to our self, then we can remove everything. You know, sometimes you can see beggars. They have only very few things. Their stick, they are some, you know, some cup or something, bowl or something. They have only few things. You may think that they have no desire. They are not greedy. Actually, they are more greedy than some people who have a lot of things. Actually, greedy or ungreedy doesn't depend on what we have, what we like. Sometimes we have a lot of things, but we don't like them. Sometimes we have only few things. We like everything what are in the world. If we can remove our attachment, our desire to myself, it is like the put off in the switch of main switch. Then everything go away. And the truth of the cessation of suffering is that the cessation from my own self, own attachment, that is the truth as the origin of suffering that Buddha realized when he attained enlightenment. The other thing is Maggasaccha, the path. It also can be divided into two. One of them is that ordinary level path. The ordinary level people that if you have eye discipline, my speech discipline, my behavior discipline, then I can I have a path. Actually, it is only the conventional truth. Samma ditti, samma sankappa, you know, the Noble Eightfold Path. In the mundane level, we practice right speech, right action, thinking that there is some person outside. Mr. Will is here. I don't speak him with my rash words. I do not tell lie. I should not cheat Mr. Will. I think there is some person outside. Actually, that behavior, that practice belongs to mundane level. Not the supra-mundane level. That leads to overcome suffering completely. According to Buddhism, when we have higher knowledge with Four Noble Truths and the Divine Origination, we have a discipline inside. When I think Mr. Will, suddenly I know that Mr. Will is created by myself, in myself, in my inside. Then I don't find a person outside. My discipline is inside. I never think that there is some person outside. My discipline depends on my inside. As soon as I remember someone, I think that this person is created by myself at the moment. When I think someone, my entire life is that person. When I think you, at the moment, this person is not in my world. When I think you, even I haven't my parents. At the moment, my entire life is you. When I think this paper, my entire life is this paper. At the moment, everything is dead. This is the ultimate truth. In this situation, in this understanding, I find the path, the noble truth of the path that leads to getting rid of suffering that Buddha has realized. Ordinary people think that sammaditti, sammasankappa, sammavacha, right understanding, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right mindfulness, right concentration, right effort, their path depends on outside. But this path doesn't depend on outside. This path depends on inside. This is the difference between the ordinary truth and the absolute truth. I explain this thing in short. Dukkha Satya, suffering, and the truth of suffering. Samudaya and Samudaya Satya, cause of suffering, and the truth, the noble truth of the cause of suffering. Nirodha and Nirodha Satya, the cessation of suffering and the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. Magga and Magga Satya, the path that leads to getting rid of suffering and the noble truth of path that leads to getting rid of suffering. Those are the differences. Actually, this understanding completely depends on understanding of the Paticca-samuppada, the dependent origination. What we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, what we touch, what we think, that experience arises at the moment. I is impermanent. This I, the ability of seeing, arises at the moment when other reasons are together. Ear is impermanent. That ear arises when sounds are here, when air is here, when my consciousness, when all things are together, my ear arises at the moment. We think that when I say, first of all, forms are here, then I look at it, after I experience it, remains here. It is only the conventional truth, ultimate truth, that everything arises at the moment. When you light a box of matches, everything arises at the moment. Your effort, fire, everything arises at the moment. Like that, when you listen in this sound, your ear, sound, effort, consciousness, feelings, mental formations, everything is together. That experience didn't come to the present. The present experience will not go to future. But past experience influences the present experience. The present experience influences the next experience. But the previous one didn't come to the present as it is. The present experience will not go to future as permanent. This is the nature of our all experiences that we receive through our six senses. Whenever we have this understanding, actually at the moment, our mind doesn't depend on outside. If you know very well, this sound arises at the moment, you never come here to catch this sound. Why is that? When you come here, the experience has ceased. When you think your son, if you go to hug your son, you never find a son. You can find only four fundamental elements. When I see Mr. Will, actually, Mr. Will is created by myself. When I keep my hand here, I find, you know, earth element. I don't find Mr. Will. This is the truth. Actually, this is the ultimate truth. In the, you know, conventional truth, we can find people. We can find fathers, mothers, sons, children, cakes, bananas. In the conventional truth, in the final, in the ultimate truth, we find only four fundamental elements. Those four fundamental elements are also not permanent. Why is that? Those things are created by myself at the moment. When I look at this world, at the moment, this is a world. When my eye changes, sometimes I can see a wall, I can through the wall. Now I can see only eight people here. When my mind changes, what happens to me? Sometimes I can see many people, many beings around here. These people are created at the moment by my present mental condition. That is not permanent.
You can't experience people directly.
Yes.
Only through your brain.
Actually, brain is a physical thing. Brain is like a helper. Okay?
Yeah.
Brain is like a helper. Heart is also a helper. They are not the only one reason.
Hardware.
Yes, like hardware. Like hardware. Actually, with these many things, you know, we have a material life. It is true. That also, every moment it changes. According to our present mental condition, for example, now your mind is your mind is neutral with me. If I blamed you with some bad words, suddenly your physical body changes. Your eye changes. Sometimes you are like this. When I hit you with anger, then suddenly your entire body changes. According to our present mental condition, everything changes. This is the nature of our life. If we understand this reality, we don't depend on outside material things or persons. Even we don't depend on our mind. Our mind also impermanent. What we think, what we experience mentally, that mental experience also changes from moment to moment. For example, now if you think your son, if you think your son is very successful, you are happy. When suddenly if you think your son's misbehavior, suddenly your mind changes. Your mind also not permanent. It changes from moment to moment with our some reasons like delusion, karma, there are several reasons. With those reasons, mind also changes from moment to moment. Then finally, dukkha satcha, samudaya satcha, nirodha satcha, magga satcha. Suffering, the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, the path that leads to cessation of suffering. Here we have to do four things. In the first level, we have to realize, we have to understand what is the noble truth of suffering. The noble truth of suffering is the attachment of five aggregates. The clinging of five aggregates. Clinging to five aggregates. And we have to understand it. When we understand it, automatically we go away from attachment. We understand what is the cause of suffering. Cause of suffering should be removed. And the cessation of suffering should be reached. And the path that leads to cessation of suffering should be practiced. Understanding, removing, realizing, and practicing. We have to do four things in these four noble truths. If we have this understanding, we find the path. What is the path? What is the path? The Noble Eightfold Path. Sammadhitti, right understanding. Sammasankappa, right intention or right thoughts. Sammavacha, right speech. Sammakammanta, right actions. Samma ajiva, right livelihood. Samma vayama, right effort. Samma sati, right mindfulness. And samma samadhi, right concentration or tranquility. Then day by day we go forward on this path. If we have a confidence in this truth, what happens to us? If we are confident in these four things, what Buddha taught, our energy, our effort, our dedication increases. Why is that? If we don't practice this path, what happens to us? We have to cry when our relatives change. We have to cry when our relatives die. We have to suffer when our body changes, when our body is going to old age. That is why we are hurry to practice this path as much as we can. And here, five spiritual faculties gradually increase. What are the five spiritual faculties? Saddha, confidence in the Four Noble Truths, so what the Buddha taught, Virya, energy, the dedication that we have to practice this path, Sati, mindfulness, fourfold mindfulness, Samadhi, concentration, Panya, wisdom. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya, these are the five spiritual faculties. This is the real dowry, wealth, our ownership. These are the things that day by day we should practice, we should develop. Finally, Buddha says, we have to practice only two things, even though there are five things, don't worry. You have to practice only two things. With this understanding, we should concentrate our mind as much as we can. Practicing such as loving kindness, breathing meditation, again and again, we should keep our attention in the present moment for a long time with a wholesome object. Positive thoughts. Again and again, we should try to increase the duration of concentration of mind. And also, with the concentrated mind, Buddha says, Samahito bhikkhave yathabhutam pajanati. That whose mind is concentrated, he reflects on impermanence. He realizes the worldly truth. What is that? Arising and ceasing of five aggregates. This is the final thing that we have to do. Even though a lot of doctrines that Buddha has proclaimed to practice, finally, be happy, we have to practice only one thing. What is that? Reflecting on impermanence or arising and ceasing of five aggregates. Every moment, the five aggregates, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana, whatever we experience, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, whatever we experience, it means five aggregates. Forms, feelings, perception, consciousness and mental formations, these five things arise together, cease together. Whatever you think, whatever you see, whatever you taste, when you think your son, when you see me, when you hear my sound, when you smell something, when you eat something, when you taste something, it means immediately five aggregates arise and cease. Every moment, five aggregates arise and cease. If we have this understanding completely, it means our mind doesn't depend on anything in outside. At the moment, our mind doesn't depend on even our mind, because mind also impermanent. At the moment, we live completely in wisdom, seen, arising and ceasing of our old experience. We have nothing which is ready-made. Every moment we make something, we experience something, we suffer or be happy with something at the moment. Then little by little, if we can develop this understanding, it means we completely depend on this understanding or wisdom. It means from moment to moment, we are reaching the getting rid of suffering. This is the path that Buddha explained. Actually, practicing fourfold mindfulness is the path. This is the field. Contemplating on our physical body, feelings, consciousness, and mental formations. We completely live in this understanding with mindfulness, with the awareness of our body and mind. Completely we look at inside. When we experience something, the ordinary person looks at outside. What happens to us? Who has this understanding? He looks at inside. The ordinary people who don't know this message, they look at outside. They respond outside while they are responding and suffering with experience. We are looking inside, living in mindfulness. Have you any question? This is the summary of the Four Noble Truths. Not only the summary, but the entire explanation.
Sandita, thank you, Bhante.
Okay, you are welcome. I am very happy to explain this very valuable topic, the heart of Buddhism, the essence of Buddhism. Okay? Practicing, understanding the dependent origination, understanding the Four Noble Truths, understanding the dependent origination, and practicing mindfulness. Fourfold mindfulness are interrelated. Again, understanding the Four Noble Truths, understanding the dependent origination, and practicing fourfold mindfulness are
interrelated.
That is the summary. That is the thing that you should learn by heart. Don't forget it. Okay? By the power of all these positive thoughts that we acquired here, may our departed relatives also receive these meritorious thoughts. With that intention, let's share these merits with our departed relatives, reciting the Gatha. Idam me nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam me nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam me nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. By the power of all these positive thoughts that we acquired here, may guardian deities and angels also receive these merits, and may they enhance their spiritual energy. May they keep their eye on you too. With that intention, let's share these merits with guardian deities and angels too. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddhikam punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddhikam punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddhikam punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu tvam sada. By the power of all these meritorious thoughts, may you be well, happy and peaceful. May you all righteous wishes meet with success. Finally, may all of us attain final bliss of liberation, the everlasting happiness, Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Dukkham pantha cha nindukkha, bhayam pantha cha nimbhaya, sokam pantha cha nissokha. Huntu sambe pipanino. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.